Well, this morning we're continuing our series. We've been thinking about encountering the sacred in everyday ordinary life, and so we're looking at this series called Sacred, and we've thought about sacred people and the saints, and what does it mean to be called to sainthood. We talked about sacred rhythm and how we think about our concept of time and how we develop a relationship with time. Last week, Pastor Mike Imperio was here, and he talked about sacred eating and how the sacredness can be found in the ordinary bread and juice that we celebrate on Sunday morning, but also in our family meals. There are sacred encounters around food. Well, today I want to continue this series, and I want to begin by sharing a movie that I absolutely love called The Way. This movie is starring Martin Sheen, and he goes on an unlikely journey in the movie. His son Daniel is on a quest known as the Camino de Santiago. I know some of you got to see parts of that recently in the last several weeks. And on this quest, it takes pilgrims 500 miles from the far west region of Spain on the coast all the way to France, to the remains of Saint James, the half-brother of Jesus. And on this particular quest, Daniel, the son of the character, dies up in the Pyrenees Mountains. And so Martin Sheen's character, who did not approve of this quest, who really felt like his son should be, you know, more responsible and not going off traveling and things like that, when he finds out his son had died in the first day of the journey, he goes to bring home his remains, to bring him back home. And what happens is that he arrives there, he learns a little bit about this pilgrimage called The Way, or called the Camino de Santiago, and decides that he's going to have his son's body cremated, and then he's going to actually go on the journey on his son's behalf, taking the remains and scattering the ashes along the way. And it's a really powerful, beautiful film. And Martin Sheen's character meets some unexpected friends along the way, as you would do if you were to go on this journey. And he plays the role of somebody who is a lapsed Catholic, or a no longer practicing Catholic. He's grown cynical, and of course he's grieving. And he comes to a point in his own journey when he has to confront the reality of what he believes and what he doesn't believe. It's a beautiful film. Every single one of us, whether we recognize it or not, or whether our stories are this dramatic or not, every one of us is on a quest, a kind of a journey in our lives. And as we continue the series, we're going to talk today about sacred journeys. We've talked about sacred time and sacred people, and today we're talking about sacred journeys and the invitation that God gives to each and every one of us to go on a special quest to discover more of who God is and who we are. You know the great naturalist John Muir. He's the one whose image goes alongside our national parks and our national identity of the outdoors. Did you know that John Muir hated the word hike? He always complained about people when they talked about hiking the mountains. He said he preferred the word saunter. I think that's kind of interesting. I didn't know this, but the word saunter comes from two Latin words that are mashed together, sante and terre, and, you know, saint and land, and it literally means holy land. To saunter means to go on an intentional journey of heading towards a holy land with God. And John Muir felt like it was much better to refer to walking these mountains as a saunter than hiking. So today I want to talk about how we might saunter towards the city of God, towards the new heavens and the new earth. And the way we're going to do that is by looking at three simple questions. One is, what is a pilgrimage? Two is, why do we go on a pilgrimage? And then three is, how do you go on a pilgrimage? So regardless of your age or your stage of life or your level of income or whatever, let's talk about these three questions. And I want to begin by doing a brief biblical history of pilgrimage in a couple of minutes. The theme of pilgrimage is a biblical theme that begins in Genesis chapter 13 when God first calls Abram to leave everything that was familiar to him and to go to a place that he did not know. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so right from the beginning, we have an adventurous faith. We have a faith in a God who calls us to be a people on the move. And we encounter a God who is constantly on the move throughout scriptures as well. And then we discover that God's people are on this move to the promised land. They get liberated and they're making their way through bondage, through the out of bondage and through the wilderness toward the promised land. And when they get established there, God gives them three festivals that they would remember each and every year and to go on pilgrimage to return to the homeland and to be rooted again in God's deliverance and purpose for their lives. And so God instructed the people to go on pilgrimage three times in the year, Exodus said, "You shall hold a festival for me." While they're in that holy land, there are different opportunities for them to celebrate, to sing, and to pray, and to encounter God. And so the book of Psalms has the Psalms of Ascent that show the people moving upwards toward the city. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." And so they would go on these quests. It was a very central part of their religious identity and their faith experience. And this was even true, at least in their hearts and in their imagination, when they were in exile in Babylon and elsewhere. And they longed to be able to be freed from exile so that they could go on these pilgrimages and return back to Jerusalem. And so Zechariah says this, "Then all who survive the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the festival of booths. One day we will be liberated from exile, we will be brought back to the homeland, and we will be able to go and return back to Jerusalem." And so in spite of all those different aspects of the journey of whether they were living at home or not, God was always calling them to return and to remember. And then we discover in the life of Jesus that this is true for Jesus' life and his practice too. And so every year he went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. As a little boy, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. But not just when he was a boy, even as he left his parents' house and he was an adult. In John 5, we see that this is true for Jesus as a faithful Jew. After this, there was the festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Pilgrimage was a part of Jesus' life. And so over and over again, from the beginning of what it means to be called beyond the familiar, to leave, all the way up to the life of Jesus, there is a dimension of their spiritual practice that is about rekindling their love for God by going on a sacred journey. N.T. Wright is one of the leading New Testament scholars, and he's one of my favorite scholars. His knowledge of the ancient Near East, first century world, it just blows my mind, the amount of material that he has produced on this. And despite all of his years and years of study and scholarship, what I find so profound is how he reflected on his experience of actually going to the land itself where Jesus died. This is what he wrote about that experience. "As I thought and prayed in the spot, reflecting on a pilgrimage to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a few yards from the place where Jesus died, I found that somehow, in a way I still find difficult to describe, all the pain of the world seemed to be gathered there. And then as I continued to reflect and pray, the hurts and pains of my own life came up for review. And they too all seem to gather together with clarity and force in that one place. I emerged eventually into the bright sunlight, feeling as though I had been rinsed out spiritually and emotionally, and understanding, or at least glimpsing in a new way, what it can mean to suppose that one act in one place at one time could somehow draw together the hopes and fears of all the years I had become a pilgrim. I love that. The call to pilgrimage is still a key component to our spiritual practice, and that's not confined to doing a trip to the Holy Land or even a 500-mile trek along the Camino de Santiago. We as Christians, on the other side of the resurrection, we have to balance come and see where he lay with he is not here, he is risen. So therefore, our concept of pilgrimage, we're invited to have a much more expansive and imaginative understanding of what pilgrimage means, so that when we even go on a ritual kind of pilgrimage, it's actually symbolic of the fact that in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our whole life is a pilgrimage with God in and of itself. But we go on pilgrimages symbolically and to be reminded of this. And so we can have an imaginative view of what this means. So what is pilgrimage then? Here's how I would define it. Pilgrimage is a ritual journey for a holy purpose that provokes new insights and experiences that move us towards spiritual transformation. It's going on a journey with eyes wide open and with an intention of seeing God in new ways and discovering things about yourself that you didn't know as well. So that's what a pilgrimage is, but why should we go on one in today's world? Well, in order to answer that, I want to kind of first suggest for a moment why perhaps we shouldn't go on a pilgrimage. And it's possible that I might step on a few toes on this one. You might remember a book called Eat, Pray, Love, written by Elizabeth Gilbert. And maybe you read and loved this book and you found aspects of it helpful. I think there are kernels of truth in this book, and that's wonderful. It's not all or nothing, black and white. But my struggle with the book was that she set out on a pilgrimage because she just couldn't stand her life anymore. She wasn't in an abusive marriage or anything like that, but she didn't want to be married anymore. She didn't want the nice house and the responsibility and the kids to raise or the family and all of this. And so she left and she went on this journey to Italy, to India, and to Indonesia, these three places to eat, to pray, and to love. Here's what pilgrimage is not. Pilgrimage is not escapism. Pilgrimage is not pulling the ripcord on your life so that you can go escape somewhere in order to avoid the hard things that you'd rather not do. Pilgrimage isn't an easy vacation. It's actually hard internal work. In fact, it's not even really intended to be about ourselves at all. The reason that I struggled with that book is because I found it to be so self-centered. She offers a way of putting yourself at the center of the universe that is really not the way that God has intended and designed for us to imagine ourselves. We believe that God is out there and God is beckoning us onto an incredible adventure of following him into the wild places. And sometimes that comes in a tragic way. For Martin Sheen's character in The Way, I mean, that was a tragic pilgrimage that he was called forth. There was nothing escapist about it at all. We go on a pilgrimage to find the living and loving God. It's not escapism. There's a writer by the name of Bruce Feiler. Maybe you've read some of his books. He wrote these kind of he's famous for his books of walking the Bible, following the footsteps of Abraham, these kind of pilgrimage type books in the ancient Near East. And one of the things that he discovered in his research is that if you look at Western Christianity, you see that traditional Christian practice is on the decline. We all know this. And yet the concept of actually going on a pilgrimage, this is pre-pandemic, and I would assume even more so post-pandemic when that happens, the concept of actually going on a pilgrimage is on the rise. And he tried to figure out why this is. And this was his conclusion or his theory based on his research. So much of religion, as it's been practiced for centuries, has been largely passive. People receive a faith from their parents. They're herded into institutions. They have no role in choosing. They spend much of their spiritual lives sitting inactively in buildings being lectured at from on high. A pilgrimage reverses all of that. At its core, it's a gesture of action. In a world in which more and more things are artificial and ephemeral, a sacred journey gives the pilgrim the chance to experience something both physical and real. And it provides seekers with an opportunity they may have never had to confront their doubts and decide for themselves what they really believe. As appealing as that destination may be, there's only one way to achieve it. Get up off your sofa and go. So I know that many have been able to return to travel since the pandemic, and others are not quite ready, but maybe are thinking about traveling in various ways in the next coming years or in the next year or so. Some of those plans might be local, kind of camping or visiting relatives. Others might be trips across the pond. What I'd like to do is just to encourage you as you think about your travel plans for the next year or so, that encourage you to incorporate some aspects of pilgrimage into your personal travel plans, into your concept of vacation. Just as you can set aside time and money to give back to God and connect with God, we can also set aside our travel plans to Almighty God. Anyone who's been on a mission trip knows about that. You've been on a mission trip before, and you encounter God in different ways in a disrupted kind of environment, and you serve, and God meets you in an unexpected way. And that's a kind of pilgrimage in and of itself as well. But even beyond mission trips where you go with a group from the church, I'm just talking about your family travel plans. This past week, I had a very rare and admittedly privileged kind of pilgrimage that I got to go on. It was an historical pilgrimage looking at the Reformation and these wonderful who were so inspiring to me. My friend, my colleague Dave and I, Dave is a Northern California, and we had done some study abroad together in the past, and so we set out to visit the places where John Calvin preached and ministered, and Zurich, and as well as Zwingli in Zurich, and as well as Martin Luther. And so we went to Heidelberg, and we went to Worms, where Martin Luther stood before the imperial court, and with great courage said, "I am bound by my conscience for the word of God and what is right, and I cannot recant." And the peasants being liberated by this, I mean, it was so inspiring to go on this journey. And we took an action reflection model approach to this. So every day we would wake up early in the morning and we would have our devotional time in a hotel room. And then we would go saunter around the city for most of the day, looking at the different sites and visiting the churches. Sometimes we even stumbled into a worship service very unexpectedly. We encountered God in so many unexpected ways. And then at the end of the day, we would get together and process and reflect on what we just experienced. Action reflection. You go out, then you pause and you reflect on that, usually over a nice Weiss beer at a beer garden or something like that. But it was a wonderful time, and it was very, very inspiring to me. As a Presbyterian minister, my vocational and my theological roots are in these places that I've never been before. And it's one thing to read John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. I've done that, and that can actually be kind of a dry experience. I know that's shocking to many of you. But to actually go and see where he preached 6 days a week for an hour at a time with no notes. And he was like one of the first to take the scriptures and just to exposit the text in wonderful ways. And this whole place rallied. It was just wonderful to be in that. And it was encouraging to me and inspiring to see not only his commitment to carefully handling God's word. That's what I look to Calvin for. But the courage and conviction of Martin Luther, who nails his theses to the door at Wittenberg. We saw that. And amidst great opposition, was very inspiring for my journey. Here's my point as to why we go on a pilgrimage. The reason we do that is because of the dislocation, the disruption that happens when you do experiential learning and discovering something about God that maybe you knew intellectually, but you haven't experienced it, never really knew internally before. You can learn all about, for example, Nelson Mandela. You could go to Cape Town and you could, or even if you didn't go to Cape Town, you can read all about him. But if you go to Cape Town and you go and visit Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela was in prison and where Desmond Tutu, God used him to bring conviction to the Dutch Christians, and you go and visit District 6 there where the atrocities happen, it's a totally different experience. You can go on a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. You can visit the 9/11 Memorial or the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial and see how God has been at work in our nation throughout the years. But Richard Rohr said something striking. He said that we don't think our way into new living. We live our way into new thinking. And so sometimes we have to get out and we've got to experience something in order to think in a new way. So that's what a pilgrimage is, why we should go. And now, okay, how do we do that? What kind of step can I take in going forward to an opening world about what you might be able to do to incorporate pilgrimage into your spiritual practice? I want to make sure that I'm just kind of expanding the concept of pilgrimage for you. I want to understand that you can go on a pilgrimage in so many different ways. Here's a picture of the plains of Moab near the mountain of Mount Nebo. You can travel all the way to this holy land here and visit the plains of Moab and see where Moses was went to the top of the mountain and looked out over the promised land, and you can read the Ten Commandments and have an historical pilgrimage like this. Or you can go and visit this Moab. And here's a Moab that you know, and have a natural pilgrimage and experience the incredible beauty of God's creation right here in our backyards. You can get a cabin or an Airbnb, and you can take a natural pilgrimage and experience God in nature. Nature is very, very powerful, and God uses it to bring healing in our lives when we're attentive to that. Maybe you'd love to go on a pilgrimage, but all you can do really is go walking around your neighborhood for whatever reason. There's actually a virtual pilgrimage of the Camino de Santiago that was created during the pandemic to raise funds for the struggling hostels along the way, and it's called Camino for Good. And so you can go to the website, Camino for Good, and you can download the app of a virtual pilgrimage, and you can go walk around your neighborhood, and images will come up, and other people, and you can connect with folks. It's not the same, I would imagine, but better than nothing, maybe. So there are different ways and different dimensions of ways you can go on pilgrimage. You can go on historical pilgrimage. You can go on local pilgrimage. You can do natural pilgrimage. It doesn't have to be months or weeks. It can be aspects or elements of pilgrimage in your everyday life. But there's one more kind of pilgrimage that I want to mention. You can go on a relational pilgrimage. Let me give you an example of that. There's a true story about a guy by the name of Alvin Straight. Alvin Straight is a World War II veteran. And when he heard that his brother had suffered a stroke, he wanted to go and meet him. He wanted to go and visit him. His eyes were so bad in this stage in his life, there's no way they would ever give him a driver's license again. And there were no buses or trains that could get to where his brother was. And so he decided to pack up his trailer, and he hooked it to the back of his John Deere tractor. And he decided that he was going to drive all day and all night, 5 miles an hour. And so that's what he did. He drove all day and all night, 5 miles an hour, and he drove 240 miles from a small town in Iowa all the way to Mount Zion, Wisconsin. And when he pulled up all that time later, he showed up at the front porch of his brother's house, and his brother said to him, "You came all this way in that for me?" And Alvin said, I did. You and I have the opportunity to seek the living God in all kinds of different ways. And I love the fact that we have a home, church, family. But there are times, not in a form of escapism, there are times when God calls us to step out, to step away for a period of time, to go on a quest, to seek him on a journey, to go out of our comfort zone. It will be inconvenient, it might be uncomfortable, it might be really fun. Oh, mine was really fun. It might be difficult, it could even be tragic, as Martin Sheen's character showed us. But what happens when we move out of the fringes and frontiers of our lives is we discover the wildness and wideness of a great and mighty and beautiful God. And so as you think about your upcoming travel plans, don't ignore the ancient Jewish and Christian practice of pilgrimage and find God in ways you've never seen him before. Gracious God, we thank you that you have called us to be a people on the move. We are always on the move with your Holy Spirit. And sometimes that moving about is only just a few miles around town and whatnot. And sometimes it's out on a longer journey, and sometimes it's a move across the United States. You call us to go, and you go with us. Help us to always look for you. We know that Christ plays in 10,000 places. Your presence is all over the place. We can see you throughout history. We can see you in nature. We can see you in relationships. We can see you in every place and in every time. And so give us the motivation, the interest, the call, the sense of call to go and to leave at some point, to go on some journey that we might seek you and open ourselves up in new ways. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.